3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Welcome back to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for being here once again as we end the week here on a Friday, getting ready for a massive weekend in Mariners history. Of course, Ken Griffey Jr. going into the Hall of Fame this weekend. It's going to be such a big weekend for not only Ken Griffey Jr., not only the Mariners, but Seattle Mariner fans as well, as they get to celebrate the first player going into the Hall of Fame wearing a Seattle Mariners cap, and it's one of the best that has ever played the game in Ken Griffey Jr. So in this podcast, with the off day yesterday, we're going to spend a lot of time getting ready for this weekend, celebrating Ken Griffey Jr. We're going to hear his speech when he went into the Mariners Hall of Fame coming up in a few minutes. We're also going to hear a great conversation with Rick Riz and the kid, and also some other another feature put together on Ken Griffey Jr. in addition to the one we heard yesterday. So a lot on Ken Griffey Jr. coming up as well. Also a big weekend on the field for the Mariners. We're going to have a ton to talk about next week with the trading deadline coming up. A lot of moving parts in this one as the Mariners, they take 2 of 3 against the White Sox, and now they're staring at what is really a brutal road trip. 3 in Toronto. They'll play a couple in Pittsburgh, sandwiched with some off days, and then the Cubs the weekend after, and of course Sunday Night Baseball coming up. So a really big road trip coming up for the Mariners. Here's how the pitching lines up for the next 3 days for the M's. Taking the ball tonight, James Paxton will go 4:07 first pitch here locally against Marco Estrada. Estrada followed up last season's stellar year with another fantastic year. Skepticism on whether he could continue, but he certainly has, and he's had a nice year, an ERA under 3. Paxton this year, 2-4, a 4.56 ERA. Hisashi Okuma, who has been outstanding, will take it on Saturday. 10:07 first pitch, so day baseball. Iwakuma, 10-6, a 4.01 ERA. He'll face the knuckleballer, R.A. Dickey, 7-10, a 4.11 ERA. Still waiting on the Sunday starter. Mike Montgomery was originally the scheduled starter. Obviously, he won't be making that turn. Traded to the Chicago Cubs. Again, 10:07 first pitch on Sunday. Former Mariner Jay Happ will go for Toronto, 12-3, a 3.43 ERA. And we've talked about it. The Mariners still in the stretch of competition in the American League that are right there with them. And Toronto is right there in the pile as well for the American League. Just they're all fighting it out. So we'll see what the Mariners can do on the road. Tough place to play, tough team to play, and a team that can certainly swing the sticks. So a lot on the Mariners pitching coming up, and then Pittsburgh and Chicago as well. So it's going to be a big series, a fun series, and we'll have a ton to talk about on the podcast next week. One more thing before we get to Griffey. I promised this. I had more requests for this than you probably would think. But Hawk Harrelson, who we talked to, we had him on the podcast last year, had him on the air last year. A long time baseball guy, player forever. He's been the White Sox voice for a long time. And he's got some very unique home run calls. A lot of enthusiasm when the White Sox hit him, not so much when they don't. So I had requests for the 2 walk-offs that the Mariners hit and the calls from Hawk Harrelson. So I'll play the first one. This is the Lind one.
The 0-1 pitch, swing and a fly ball, deep right center field. Back she goes, and this one is going to be gone. Goodbye, baseball. He did it again. Adam Lind with a walk-off, 3-run home run here in the bottom of the ninth inning. Mariners win it 4-3. His second walk-off of the year. It just got out of here to right center field. Adam Lind with a pinch hit. 3-run home run here in the bottom of the ninth inning. Holy smokes. They are going crazy here at Safeco Field.
High and deep. And we lose this ball game 4-3.
And here's the Martin one as the Mariners beat the White Sox again with another walk-off.
Again, the 0-2 pitch, swing, and a high drive deep to right field. Eaton going back, looking up, goodbye baseball! Another walk-off home run, Leonis Martin, his second of the season, and the Mariners win it 6-5 over the Chicago White Sox. His second home run of the afternoon, the fourth of the day for the Mariners. Martin mobbed by his teammates. How sweet it is!
Uh-oh. This ball game is over.
So there you go. I hope you enjoyed that. And now we'll hand things over to Rick Riz as he chats with Ken Griffey Jr.
Jr., congratulations on being inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. What went through your mind when you finally got that call saying that you were the newest member of the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown?
I didn't want to mess it up. It was sitting there going, okay, I don't want to mess this up. I just want to play, have some fun, get it done.
Didn't you have to wait 20 minutes? Was that the longest 20 minutes of your life waiting for that call?
Yeah, it was the longest 20 minutes, but it was well worth it. It was long, but, you know, you don't want to mess it up, but it was quite interesting and quite fun. When he said, I'm looking for Ken Griffey Jr., I was like, yeah, that's me. So, you know, it was good.
Did you try to make it a typical day, as typical as it could possibly be, knowing you were going to get that phone call? And what did you do that day?
I got up, took the garbage out, got the dogs, did all the things I was supposed to do, took Trey to lunch. Mm-hmm. Then we went back home, waited there, had some people come over. Then the media came over, waited for the phone call, and just tried to be as patient as possible, and had no idea that it was going to be that high. Mm-hmm. So it was a shock. But at the same time, I was relieved that it was over, and now everything started, you know, because I had to get up the next morning.
Well, you kicked that door down with both feet, get into the Hall of Fame. You're the first player going in with a Mariner cap on, so that's significant. But the second Mariner, Dave Niehaus, went in the broadcast wing in 2008. And what do you think David would say if he were sitting here right now looking at you?
He would be happy, smiling. Grab me by my head, give me a hug, and said, "Come here, son. Congratulations. And what took you so damn long?" You know, just in that voice. And I could just hear it ringing in my head. What took you so long? You know, in his monotone voice. You know, he called my first home run. He called my last home run. You know, I think that for him, he's such a big part of this organization. A lot of people still miss him day in and day out, especially when we have great moments in Mariner history. To be able to hear his voice, you hear his name, and you automatically go, okay, here it comes. You know, the calls, I mean, the My Oh My, the Grand Salami, you know, yeah. Ring out the rye bread, certain things that you hear.
But that's something special. Obviously, the numbers were there. 630 career home runs, 13 All-Star games, 10 Gold Gloves, seven Silver Slugger awards. What stands out about your 22 years in the big leagues, Junior?
That as a kid, I got a chance to be a part of, number one, something special. The guys that I grew up with, we're still friends. And it's something that you can't take that away from us, is that we are still friends to this day. And that's the key, is we're more concerned about everybody's family than what we did on the field. But before, when we didn't have any kids, it was like, what'd you do? How'd you do? Now it's, you know, hey, how the kids doing? We were a family, and, you know, they're just as big of a part of my Hall of Fame as I am.
Kenny, when I say 1995, you were injured early in the year, shattered your wrist late May, came back in August. What do you recall about that 1995 season? Why were you guys able to do what you did and get this team and this city to the playoffs for the very first time?
I think we all grew up at one time. It was one of those things we all realized that we can play this game and we can compete with the big boys. And once we were able to get over that hump and we felt that we can compete day in and day out with those guys, it made a difference in our day-to-day approach to playing teams that we know we could beat and we should beat. And the guys that, you know, we were like, okay, maybe if we split or win the series 2-1, that was the turning point, which was now we were winning series instead of losing those series and then losing the teams that we should beat. We had a different confidence in ourselves day in and day out.
What made you such a great defensive center fielder?
There's two sides to baseball, offense and defense. And if you're just an offensive player, they're going to pull you out in the seventh inning, and you may not get that extra at bat. So go out there and play defense just as well as you play offense so they can't pull you. You right. don't want to give them any reason to pull you. You know, I took pride in defense. If you go 0-for-4, but you make a great play on the defensive side, that's just as rewarding as you going 4-for-4, because you don't want to go 4-for-4 and lose, but you can go 0-for-4 and make a great play, and it's the same thing. You feel good because the team won. And I think it became what was more important, the team winning. I mean, you started, you know, with Joey and everybody getting guys over, getting them in, making sure, you know, we did the little things, and then the big things are going to happen. And I think that was one of the things, is we always made sure if we did the little things, the things that we can control, the big things are going to happen. The 2-3 run homers are going to happen, and they did.
What would you like to tell the fans here in Seattle, Junior, about the last few days and being inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Get ready. This is the icing on top of the cake. You know, the fans here have been unbelievable. The Twitter feeds that I get, because I don't have Twitter, on Instagram when I post something, you know, the friends, the news, the things that I get to see. I mean, it's been overwhelming, and they're just as big part of this as everybody else. I mean, you know, they're going to be here supporting me and the team throughout this.
I'll tell you one thing, Junior, it was fun watching you play the game of baseball, fun watching you have so much fun for 22 years, a Hall of Fame career, 13 years of it in a Mariners uniform. We had a chance to call you our own, and now you belong to the entire game of baseball. Congratulations on your selection to the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York, buddy. Well deserved.
Thank you. And it feels a little weird still. It doesn't feel right yet. It hadn't sunk in. Because they were like, hey, you got to change your name. I'm like, change my name to what? They're like, it's Hall of Famer Ken Griffey Jr. And I just like, yeah, Ken Griffey Jr. And they're like, no, you have to say Hall of Famer. I'm like, but, you know, I guess as it goes on, I'll start to understand it. Yeah. More and more I do it. But right now, you know, I'm just, a guy from Denora, Pennsylvania.
You and Stan Musial from Denora. Yeah. Congratulations, buddy. We love you.
Thank you.
There goes Joey. The pitch swung on and melted. Deep to right field. The Mariners have done it. Fly away. Junior with a two-run home run.
Thank you. Thank you for, you know, paving the way for somebody like me, a kid growing up in Oklahoma, having a dream of playing in the major leagues. He definitely motivated me to want to be a baseball player. And, he's one of the reasons why I picked up a bat and started playing.
That was San Diego Padres outfielder Matt Kemp.
Current Boston Red Sox ace David Price shares his memories of Ken Griffey Jr.
His easy swing, his finish, just his his big smile, you know, having his hat backwards in BP, just having fun with what he did. You know, he was obviously extremely talented and, you know, one of the best to ever patrol the outfield and to stand in that left-handed batter's box. But just watching him, you know, growing up and just having all those moments and hitting all those big hits and making those great catches, you know, that was definitely very special.
And the 3-2 pitch to Jesse now, and the slider swung on, and a high fly ball hit into deep left center field. Back goes Griffey. He's back to the wall. Makes the leap, and does he make the catch? He does! My, oh my, another Griffey piece of magic!
Omar Vizquel, one of the best defensive shortstops to play the game, pays an extremely high compliment to his former teammate.
He looked like a shortstop out there in center field. You know, he gets to every ball. He was reckless sometime. We remember how he got hurt when he go after that ball in center field when he broke his hand. And all the plays, you know, jumping after a ball, like climbing walls and doing all this stuff. You know, the guy was just unbelievable. It was so fun to watch him play. And I think that he changed the whole mentality of the Seattle Mariners at that time. Yeah. You know, a lot of people was coming down just to see Griffey, just to pay that ticket. And, you know, I was just as amazed how this guy played the game.
3-2 pitch on the way. Swing, and it's a fly ball. Right center field and deep. On the run, Diaz and Griffey. Griffey up against the wall, jumps up, and he makes the catch. He crashes into the fence. Griffey leaped right into the wall.
A man that knew Ken Griffey Jr. from almost the beginning, Billy Hatcher.
I've known Ken Griffey Jr. for a long time. I played with his dad here, so I actually went and saw Griffey play over at Moeller High School a couple of times. And, you know, he was special then. But then again, I played against him, and just watching him when he was in Seattle. Five to 10 year period, he is the best there was in baseball. It was no comparison.
Here comes the 3-0 pitch to Junior. He swings and a high fly ball belted Green to the track, the wall, number 56, fly, fly away.
Hall of Fame broadcaster for the Texas Rangers, Eric Nadell, mentions Ken Griffey Jr.'s place in baseball history.
He's pretty far up there. Now, I saw Willie Mays, I saw Roberto Clemente and Hank Aaron and Mickey Mantle. I don't know really how he compares to those guys, but it's hard to say that he takes a back seat to any of them.
Fastball at time belted. Deep to right field. Number 400 is on its way. There it goes. Ken Griffey Jr. has it his 400th home run as a Mariner. Number 613.
Hall of Famer and current manager of the Minnesota Twins, Paul Molitor.
You know, it's just more about the beauty in which he played the game. You know, I was fortunate to see him for a long time, and there's a certain gracefulness that he brought to his at-bats, to his defense, the way he ran the bases. It looks like work for most of us, you know, but he was such a graceful athlete. I did get a chance to know him a little bit off the field through the years and, you know, various charitable events in the wintertime. When you're competing against the best of the best, it was a real privilege for me to watch him as a young kid turn into the man he became and to go on to become one of the greatest players in the history of the game.
Love you too.
Thank you. I have so many things running through my mind, and I can honestly say I am thankful to be a part of the Seattle Mariners. There's so many people to thank. From the front office, to the media, to the fans. I wasn't expecting to see Trey up on the board. And I can honestly say, Jay, I know what you're going through now. It's all your fault. As a 17-year-old kid getting drafted by Seattle, I had no idea what I was in for. Coming here at 19, meeting my wife here, having two kids here in Seattle, and then one little guy in Orlando. As you can see, there's another never a dull moment in my house with him. My parents let me be me. You know, they let me run around the house, play baseball, tear up stuff. Break a few windows. You know, but my dad said, you can't teach that swing, so let it go. Mom would be a little upset, but it was okay. Coming here at 19, you know, having to, you know, be from the Midwest, coming to Seattle, which I call the melting pot of the United States, because it doesn't matter what color, what race, what anything you are, people treat you like people. And being up here with six of the most respected people that I know. And starting off with Alvin, who is Mr. Mariner. Who also is the calmest person I know. Because he didn't get mad at all. And he would just say, hey, settle down. And I'd be like, no. And he'd just be like, sit down, we're going to talk. And those talks would end up being 3 and 4 hours because I wasn't listening. And he drilled it in me. But he is my older brother. And then I have Edgar. The greatest right-handed hitter I've ever played with. I got the little guy in the middle, Randy. The most dominating pitcher I can't say enough for him. The things that, you know, I was his locker partner, so my story is a little different than most of your guys. You know, Randy would come in smiling, and then the media come in, and he'd frown up, and then nobody messed with him. And it was cool with me because then nobody would stand by me. You know, during spring training, you know, our group would be Jay, Edgar, and myself, Randy throwing BP. He would throw BP and see how far we hit it. And then he'd start laughing. And then the first time I faced him for real, he drilled me. But he did say I was sorry as I went down to first base. Got Dan Wilson. Probably the most fiery person that I know. always wanting to win, always prepare, and probably the only person on the team that was willing to tell Randy, shut the hell up. And then I got the guy that announced everybody here. His wife is sitting here today because he can't make it, but he is here. I'll tell you a little story about Dave. The first time I met him is he came into spring training. Well, I should say I came into spring training. And I'm looking at him, and he's got these little short shorts, pale legs, calf-high socks, and white shoes, and a yellow shirt. And I couldn't keep my eyes off of him. And he introduced himself, says, I'm Dave. I'm the announcer. And I just looked at him, and I was like, you know, the sun is free. And then I went out and took batting practice. And I didn't make the team that year. But the next year, I made the team. And he got me back, but I'm not going to tell you what he said. That's between me and Dave. But I couldn't think of a better announcer, another play-by-play guy, to announce, number one, my first home run and my last home run. And really all that thanks goes to Mrs. Niehaus, not Dave. Then I got Howard and Chuck and John. I can't say enough for the friendship that we have, and it's not baseball related. It's more of I really want to say this. If you think that these three guys don't want to win, you're sadly mistaken. I know that some days are better than others. But to have these three guys as ownership and get a chance to talk to them and know them, they want to win and bring a championship to this city. I want to say something to the guys to my left. We were just like you, all of us here sitting here. I was 19, Jay was 22, 23, Randy, 22, 23. We grew up. We believed in each other. And we made it happen. And you guys can do it too. I have my medical staff over there. that group over there that every time that I got hurt, I would call. And being sometimes on the East Coast, I'd call them at like 5 o'clock in the morning and told them what happened, and they would say, hey, this is what you need to do. And I would do it. And that's Rick and Doc Story. I have Dave Valley over there trying to hide. But I'm going to talk about him. Dave's got one of the biggest hearts. You know, the things he does for so many people. Esperanza. He comes down, he flies from Seattle, stops off in Orlando for a couple days. We play golf. And then he goes over there. He's an unbelievable person. And I'm honored to call all these guys my friends and brothers. Now, I've saved, well, now I'm gonna get to really my mom and dad. My dad just gave me that look. So he turned around, and I'm gonna turn around and look at y'all. But my mom and dad were unbelievable. Like I said, they let me be a kid. Basketball season came around. I played basketball, football. They weren't concerned about me making it to the big leagues. They wanted me to be a kid and enjoy the things that kids do. You know, I'd call my dad and ask him for some advice about hitting. And I was struggling one time, and he would tell me, and it didn't seem right. And my mom would just say, just call him. He understands that, because he would have to show me. But he is the one player that I look at and wanted to be like. And then I have my mom, who, while my dad was playing, drove me and my little brother to all our sporting events. Me and my brother around the same age, 18 months apart. So she would drive one of us, drop the other one off, watch half the game, have the coach drive me or my brother back to wherever we were so she could watch half the game. I didn't realize how much dedication that my mom had until I retired. And then I went home and I sat on my couch for the first 2 days, and my wife looked at me and says, well, we've got to go to Tennessee, Atlanta, Chicago, back to Atlanta, Augusta, and then home. And I looked at her and said, how long are we going to be gone? And she said, that'll be for the next 3 weeks. And I looked at her like, I'm not going. I went. I've got Lynn Merritt, who the first time I met Lynn, he says, I can't do nothing for you now, but if you keep playing, I got you. That was 24 years ago. You notice that, you will notice if you look at the Heat game, Leonard being in the front row of every Miami Heat game. He's over there. He's also another one of my older brothers that will tell me what I'm doing wrong at any given time. Got my agent, Brian Goldberg. Had him since I was 17. Been a part of my family's life since I was 14. That about right? You know, you can't talk to agents before you get signed, so I had to clarify that with the NCAA over here. He's been there when I've called at 3, 4, 5 in the morning asking for advice on certain things. And I can't thank those two guys enough for being in my camp since I was a young kid. Thank you. I'm going to talk to you guys as fans, because sometimes you don't hear about what I have to say or it comes out wrong. What I'm going to tell you is that you guys, you know, you got across the street, they got the 12th man. Well, on this side of the street, we need the 10th man. You guys are important. When you show up and we look at y'all in the stands going, ooh, it's going to be a good day. If you don't show up, we look and say, oh, well. But you guys are important, more than what you think you are. And I know sometimes it gets a little frustrating. We get frustrated because we want to go out there and perform. And we want you guys to, when you drive home, to say, wow, I was there for that, and have a smile on your face. We're not trying to mess up. We're not trying to make you guys upset in any way. We just want you guys to be happy on the 20, 30, 40, 2-hour drive, in some cases 5-hour drive home. But you guys should be patient with these guys. I know that we're going in the right direction because I spent a lot of time in a minor league system to see what we got coming up. But before I go, I waited till last to talk about Jay. I'm not going to tell no stories. Okay, maybe one. Of all people that I would consider my brother from another mother, a guy who listens to country music, wears cowboy boots, big belt buckles, I got 17 speakers in a car, sweatsuits, rap music, two people that are so far apart on every level, became really close. Now, I don't know if that's the pitching changes that we had and I went over to right field and he came over, but there is no other person in this world other than my parents that if something ever happened to me or my wife, that I would want to raise my kids. I would, in closing, I'm going to just say this. I am truly honored, humbled to be associated with these people here. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Love you too. I wasn't really going to speak this long because I never prepare for anything, as you know, like, don't have a speech. I always speak from the heart. And I think that's the most important thing, is that, you know, you may have, sometimes I may have been standoffish. I didn't mean to. I just wanted to play baseball. And that was the only thing that really mattered, was me going out there playing and trying to win ball games for this team. But I want to thank all y'all. I want to thank the Mariners organization for being a part, let me be a part of something special. Thank you. I just want to say thank you.